From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside me is nobody this week. I don't have a guest, I don't have Count Panic, it's just me and you and a ghost story. Now, children of the night, I know that this isn't going to be your standard episode. We're not doing the spooky news of the week. We're not doing reviews or fan mail. This is just a quick and simple solo episode. Now, I know that things have been kind of weird with uploads lately. We went from weekly, then to bi-weekly, then to tri-weekly, and it's just been really crazy. At the studio, we have to balance out the sports schedule, which, you know, for any of the old fans that used to listen to us purely on radio or Facebook Live, know that sometimes with a drop of the hat, the show can get postponed. We are working on getting that fixed to where we won't have to deal with that in the future, but until then, this is just kind of how it is. I promise you that this is going to be one of the last times you ever have to deal with that kind of delay in episode content going forward, so just hang out, enjoy, and this is going to be a very relaxing episode, because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite ghost stories and something near and dear to my heart. Now, some of you may know my origin story, so to say, I guess that makes me sound like a superhero, is that my love and interest in the paranormal, weird, and spooky started at a really young age with a show called Unsolved Mysteries. For the uninformed, Unsolved Mysteries was a TV show that was like a true crime, who did it kind of a deal, where they would show like reenactments of crimes happening, and you know, they wanted people to try to chime in and help people figure out the murder, or, you know, if there's been a lost child due to adoption. But if you get past the real super serious subject matter that Unsolved Mysteries dealt with, they had a really interesting spin to it, because sometimes on the episodes, you'd get ghost stories, or alien stories, or cryptid stories. And that's the stuff I used to love. I remember powering through the very scary Unsolved Mysteries theme song and the monologue opening from Robert Stack to get to where we're at, you know, in the episode. And one episode that stands out to me the most was the Resurrection Mary story. Now, we've heard talked about it a little bit on the show in the past, and it's been a long time coming of me being able to finally talk about Mary. I mentioned her briefly in our Vanishing Hitchhikers Mythos episode when I hosted that one with Pat last year. And I know we've kind of mentioned it in due past, but I never actually dedicated an episode to her, so I wanted to be able to do that. Growing up in Chicago, which I did, and I still live in to this day, Chicagoland proper, I guess now, I've always heard the story of Resurrection Mary, and that episode of Unsolved Mysteries really solidified that for me. Here was Unsolved Mysteries doing an episode about a place that I lived at. This was close to home. And for them to be able to shine a light on the story that I would hear other people talking about was a very fascinating idea to me. It wasn't uncommon growing up that people, especially like high school kids, would spend Friday nights hopping in their cars and driving the 40 minutes west to go to over to Justice, Illinois to go check out, you know, Archer Avenue and be able to hop on Archer and drive up and down trying to look for Mary. And that's just as classic ghost story as it gets. And Mary happens to be one of my favorite ghost stories because I'm local to the story. And in fact, yours truly, even to this day, still drives out to Archer Avenue looking to see if we can spot a sighting of old Mary herself. So without further ado, children, turn your lights down and your volume up. Let me tell you a ghost story. Our story begins in 1939 at a place called the O'Henry Ballroom with a man by the name of Jerry Pallas. You see, Jerry fancied himself a ladies' man and was a regular at the ballroom. One night, while looking to make some moves, Jerry came face to face with a young and beautiful woman. He described her as being about 5'7", dressed in white, and had blonde curly hair. Stricken by her beauty, Jerry mustered the courage to go and ask the woman for a dance. The woman agreed, and as he prepped to dance with her, Jerry says that the woman's hands were cold as ice. Story goes, according to Unsolved Mysteries, that he used the line, "Your hands are ice cold, but that must mean your heart is warm," sly to argue. As the evening was winding down, Jerry offered a ride to Mary in order to get her home safe. Mary agrees, and she said that she lived on South Darren. Upon leaving and on their way, Mary's directions seemed to have changed and asked Jerry to drive her to Archer Avenue instead. Jerry, commenting on how spooky it was, asked why she dragged him to Archer Avenue. Well, at driving down Archer, they make it into Justice, which wasn't too far away from the ballroom, and they stop in front of the wrought iron gates of Resurrection Cemetery. Mary asks to get out, don't follow her, and as Jerry watched her, she walked forward, seemed to disappear into the night towards the cemetery. Now, Jerry, not taking this lying down, decided the next day to go out and see if he could track down Mary. He was curious. Without hardly any issue, Jerry found the house of Mary and knocked on a door. Upon the door opening, he asked if Mary was home, and a woman that answered the door became a little hysterical, saying Mary didn't live there. When Jerry peered behind the woman, on the mantle was a photo of the woman he was dancing with the night before. He said, "No, that's her. That's Mary. That's the young lady I was with last night." The woman stared at him dead in the eyes and said, "That's my daughter, Mary, and she's been dead for several years now." Spooky stuff, eh, children of the night? Imagine going out on a date and finding out that your date was dead the entire time, and you, in fact, have been enjoying an evening with a ghost. Depending on who you talk to, me included, it doesn't sound like a terrible plan of night. In fact, that might actually sound better than a lot of my early dating experiences, but that's a story for another day. You know, you look at this story and you think, man, Jerry, of all the women he could have decided to hit on, he decided to hit on the dead one and kind of made your life a little bit more complicated. And I guess that's one definition of a good way to be ghosted. Ba-dumps. Now, that might be the end of Jerry's story with Mary, but that's not the end of the Resurrection Mary mythos as a whole, because as we're about to discover when we try to find out who the actual spirit of Mary belongs to, there's a convoluted mess of ideas of who the spirit may be, and if Jerry's not lying at all, then who exactly did he dance with? So let's dig a little deeper, shall we? According to ChicagoHauntings.com, some researchers speculate that this mystery woman heads from one grave among thousands at the 475-acre burial ground known as Resurrection Cemetery. Apparently, her gravesite number is 9819, section MM, that of a young Polish woman, Mary Bergowi. Records indicate that Bergowi was killed in a car accident in 1934, allegedly on her way home from a dance at the O. Henry. But attempts to link the Mary with the resurrection legend have yielded far less than satisfactory results. We do know that Mary Bergowi was a real person who actually did perish due to an obituary that was found on March 11, 1934. The obituary reads as follows. Girl killed in crash. Miss Marie Bergowi, 21 years old, of 4611 South Darren Avenue, was killed last night when the auto in which she was riding cracked up at, we're missing, Street and Wacker Drive. John Riker, 23, of 15 North Knight Street of Park Ridge, suffered a possible skull fracture in the county hospital. John Thole, 25, of 5216 South Loomis, driver of the car, and Miss Virginia Rosatsky, 22, of 4849 South Lincoln, not Wolcott, was shaken up and were scratched. The scene of the accident is known to police as a danger spot. Thole told the police that he did not see the L structure. The L meaning the train station structure. But is Resurrection Mary actually Marie Bergoglio? To quote Chicago Hauntings once more, according to Rutkowski, Bergoglio loved to dance, but she also had short, dark hair, which is a far cry from the flaxen fantasy described through the years of Mary's various escorts. In addition, the late John Satala, the undertaker who prepared Bergoglio's body, and once described Mary as a hell of a nice girl, remembered that her eternal attire was, in fact, an orchid-colored dress, not a white one. So case closed, right? Mary Gabovi died in the city and was not even anywhere near the site of any of these hauntings. She wasn't buried in a white dress and didn't even have blonde hair. What gives? Well, there happens to be another theory on who Mary actually is. According to Haunted Detective, who was paraphrasing an article written by Chicago paranormal researcher Ursula Bielski, in a nutshell, there's a young woman by the name of Anna. Anna was a vibrant youth and loved to dance. She chose the name of Marja as her middle name because of her devotion to the Blessed Mother. By the time Anna neared her teenage years, she had grown up into a very attractive woman with blonde hair and a slender build. According to the research of Frank Azurnesh, who was credited in Bielski's article, Anna was begging her father to take her dancing on her 13th birthday. Anna was born in September, so been an early birthday present. On the night of July 20th, 1927, coming back from the O. Henry Ballroom, now the Willowbrook on Archer Avenue, which isn't even there now, Anna's father did not see the 25-foot railroad cut hole in the roadway, and unfortunately, it crashed. Anna was crushed under the vehicle, and Anna unfortunately passed. You won't find the location of Anna's death by traveling down the current Harlem Avenue. The location is actually along Old Harlem Avenue, which is just east of the current Harlem Avenue and under a bridge which spans the railroad tracks at the location. It is an eerily quiet location in an industrial area which sees nowhere near the amount of traffic it did on during the time of Anna's death. Officially, Anna Norkis is buried at St. Casimir Cemetery in Chicago, but according to Ms. Bielski's article, that may or may not have been the case. A fellow by the name of Al Church Jr. was a gravedigger who lived across the street from the gates of Resurrection Cemetery. He was also the cousin of one of Anna's friends, Mary Nagode. Mr. Churras stated that during the time frame when Anna died, there were several strikes by gravediggers at various cemeteries. He remembered that many bodies that were unable to be buried because of the strike would be temporarily interred at Resurrection until the strike was over. Unfortunately, due to poor construction of caskets and earlier embalming techniques, some bodies were unable to be properly identified and just were left at Resurrection Cemetery. If Mary is indeed the spirit of Anna, then why the name of Mary? Why do we have this Resurrection Mary in general? Is it mass hysteria? Lots of spirits just kicking around and picked up on the concept of Mary, and that's where we get the answer at? Was Jerry lying? Well, who really knows? All I know is that if you dig even deeper, you can find yourself a lot of different research of different various encounters over the years. Anybody who drives up and down South Archer Avenue regularly and is a believer might be able to tell you that they were driving along Archer at night when they saw the body of a young woman dressed in white walking up and down that street. As somebody who's driven up and down Archer Avenue quite a bit in his life, and especially at night, I can attest that the further you go down, the spookier it does get, and there is a lot of thick area over there that's very hard to see. So, is there an idea to believe that maybe there are other spirits just wandering around there, and they pick up the form of Mary? Maybe Jerry misheard and thought her name was Mary, when in reality it was Anna. I don't know if Anna sounds like Mary at all, but let's talk a little bit about some of the eyewitness accounts that are some of the more popular ones other than Jerry's. According to Unsolved Mysteries interview with an eyewitness, in 1980, Claire Radnicki was driving along the front of Resurrection Cemetery when she too spotted Mary. I really didn't think that there was any ghost. You hear these stories in these old ghost tales, but it never seems to happen to me. But now I must say, I think I've changed my mind. I was just looking out the window as we were going down the street, and on the right-hand side of the road, there was a girl walking. She was bright, very bright, like illuminating. And she was just walking very slowly. I remember thinking, oh my God, it's Resurrection Mary. And I could feel my stomach starting to turn. I was very frightened, and I have to admit, it did scare me. Claire's husband, Mark, was also in the car. We all went past it, turned around, and came back. By the time we had gotten back to where we originally seen her, it just vanished. On October 1989, Janet Cowell and her friend were out for an evening drive. After about an hour, they found themselves at Resurrection Cemetery. It was then, Janet recalled, that a pale young woman stepped out in front of her car. There was no impact, there was no bump to say that you knew you hit something. But I know she ran out, and I hit her. She was all in white, and her hair and dress were flowing, you know, like backwards, as if it was a stream, you know, away from her. And I just saw this profile of a young woman. January 31st, 1979, an article in the Suburban Tribune, columnist Bill Geist detailed the story of a cab driver, Ralph, who picked up a young woman. A looker, blonde, and she was young enough to be my daughter, maybe 21 tops, near a small shopping center on Archer Avenue. Horse and house. A couple miles up Archer there, she jumped out with a start like a horse and said, "Here, here." I hit the brakes. I looked around and didn't see no kind of house. "Where?" I said. And then she sticks her arm out and points across the road and says, "There." And that's when it happened. Looked to my left, and it was like this little tiny shack. And when I turned, she was gone. Vanished. And the car door never opened. And may the good Lord strike me dead. That car door never opened. And those are some of the encounters of Resurrection Mary you find that are some of the more popular ones. And indeed, it is one of the most popular ghost stories in Chicago. Like I said, I've driven up and down Archer several times looking for Mary. In fact, it's one of my hobbies to do during Halloween time, is just kind of drive around, period piece music playing in the background, and just to see if I, well, wander across a wandering hitchhiker. Some of the mythos say that when you go out looking specifically for her, she'll never make an appearance. Some stories say that she'll only appear to women and not men, which that contradicts the cab story, Ralph's story. But either way, and whether or not Mary is real, it just goes to show that a really popularized ghost story can really be passed around and really develop a character of its own. I posted a little short video on my TikTok recently when I was doing a photo shoot at Resurrection Cemetery, and it was a very fascinating response of people saying that Mary was their favorite ghost story, and even one of my listeners was actually dressed up like her as a kid for Halloween. What an interesting way a cultural phenomenon that a ghost story could turn into. Now, do I believe that Mary herself is real? I don't know if her name is Mary. I don't know if the story follows the suit completely as it is. I can tell you that there is definitely something strange that goes on at Archer Avenue and Resurrection Cemetery. So it's very possible that a spirit of a woman named Mary is just kind of wandering about through the graveyards and through Archer Avenue. I'm not going to say it's not the truth. Do I 100% believe Jerry's story? I do, because I've heard of strange interactions with strange things. And maybe, I don't know, necessarily know if I believe the end of the story where he shows up, because I've heard other vanishing hitchhiker stories where they'd show up to the house and there's the picture of the girl on the mantle and she's been dead for however long, right? That's a very common story amongst the mythos, and I don't know if I necessarily believe that part of the story, so I don't know. If you ask me if Mary's real, in conclusion, I would say that yes, Mary is real. Now, whether or not Mary is the story of Anna or Mary Bregovi, I don't know. I wish I had the solid answer for you guys, but either way, I hope you all enjoyed the tale of Resurrection Mary and Chicago's most famous ghost story. Thank you so much for listening, children, tonight. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.